28th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. 28th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll start reading at verse number 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desired to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the precious scripture. I thank you for what's already taken place in this place and all of the Sunday school classes. Thank you for them. Thank you for the teaching of God's word. Thank you also, Father, for the children's churches that's going on right now. And Lord, here in this place, in this auditorium, we need your blessings. We need the power of God. We need the wisdom of God. And I ask you, help this preacher, Father. I need to be for you what I should be. And I pray for your strength and your help. And then, Lord, certainly for all of us to have ears that will be open to the word of God. Lord, I'm sure there's many needs in this place. No doubt about you willing to fulfill them and meet them. But, Father, help us to just be willing to let you. Once again, if there's anyone here saved today, we certainly would pray that that individual, Lord, would be convicted of their sin and realize their need of Christ, and that they might be saved. Now, Father, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, An Appointed Day. An Appointed Day. If you'll notice in verse number 23, it says, And when they had appointed him a day. I think there's multitudes and multitudes of appointments that people keep, and some of them they don't keep. I've got a calendar in there on my desk. It's got all the dates and days of the week and months and all of that listed. And I've got all kinds of things written in them days. I've got things coming up, and I do my best to keep those appointments. But once in a while, I'm like everybody else. Something comes up. I can't keep an appointment. But we try to keep them. We try to do that. And people, I'm sure you've got your calendars marked on what you're doing and the things you've got ahead of you to do and all of those things. I don't know whether you ever heard about this man who was out on the golf course, and he was putting. He was standing there putting, getting ready to putt. And his buddy that was with him, that was playing golf with him, said, Hey, Joe, I think you better look behind you. And he looked behind him, and there stood a woman in a bridal gown with some flowers in her hand. And he said, Is it June already? Yeah. You don't want to miss them kind of appointments, men. Amen. You want to be there when you're supposed to be there for those kind of things. But anyway, I don't believe anybody. I don't believe anybody's here by accident today. I don't believe there's one person in this room here by accident today. Yeah. I do believe there's a lot of other folk that God would like to have had here. I believe that with all my heart. But I don't believe anybody's by accident. I think God gives us appointments. I believe we're given certain times to be at certain places. Now, there's some times we choose not to keep appointments. Some of them we ought to keep, but we decide not to. But what I want to do today is I want to discuss with you, want to preach to you this morning concerning six appointments that we find here that I know that most of us are going to have to keep. And so I'm going to talk about six appointments. Paul said that he appointed him a day. There was a day appointed unto Paul. He came to Rome to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was going to be appointed a day to get that job done. He was not going to do so from some amphitheater or some big coliseum. If Paul had said, I got to wait till I get a big crowd, monstrous crowd to preach, I'm afraid that day would have went by and he wouldn't have kept his appointment. But he had an appointed day that they appointed him. He did not say, as soon as I'm free, I'm a free man, I'm going to preach the gospel. As soon as everything works out fine and works out good, that I'm going to preach the gospel. He didn't say that. He was a man in prison. He was imprisoned. He had a soldier watching him. He did not say, as soon as that old soldier gets away from me and I get loose from that soldier, I'm going to preach the gospel. No, there was an appointed day that God had given him to preach the word of God. And I say to you, there's days that we need to be, we're given appointments to do things for God. And we ought to keep those appointments. I want to go back just real quickly to Acts, the 23rd chapter. I want to show you something that I believe the Apostle Paul remembered. In verse number 11, he says in chapter 23, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. See, I think he remembered that day. I think he remembered that night. And he said, God said that I was going to bear witness of him in Rome. I'm going to preach the word of God. Paul could have said, this isn't the way I would have chosen to do that. I would have rather come here as a free man. I'd rather come here and stood amongst large crowds so more people could hear me. Not so to boost my ego, but so more people could hear me. I'm sure he probably thought about those things, but there was an appointed day that he was given, and he used that appointment to preach the word of God. I remember a day that when we was over at Wilford, had that little old church there in that little old building over there. And one morning, I'd go up there in the wintertime, about 5, 5:30 in the morning, and I would start the fire. Had a wood furnace in there, and I'd start the fire. And I'd done that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. One Sunday I was in there starting the fire, trying to get it warm. And there was a car pulled up in front of the church building there. And this guy got out. He was just a young guy. His name was Huey. I still remember. His name was Kevin Huey. He got out of that and he came in. And one of the first things he said, he seen me back there and he came back there where I was building the fire. I welcomed him and said, told him who it was, and here's what he said. Thank God somebody was here this early in the morning. Thank God. And I remember he was a troubled young man. So troubled, had all kinds of problems in his life. And so I got a couple chairs and we sat down there and he began to tell me about his life story and all his problems. And he was just in turmoil there in that little old building that morning about 5:30 in the morning. And I said to him, son, what you need is Jesus. And I took the gospel, took the word of God, and just showed him how to be saved. And he asked Christ to save him, 5:30 in the morning. Now, the reason I'm saying that, God had an appointment. Amen. At 5:30 in the morning, on a Sunday morning, God had an appointment with me and that Kevin Huey. Now, what I'm saying, there's a lot of appointments God makes. Sometimes people don't keep them. but we as God's people ought to keep them. I remember down, and it just kind of comes back to me. I went to the Vincennes Hospital one day. It's been years and years ago. Went down there. Someone and said, "Would I go visit this person?" And I said, "Yes." I went down there, drove to Vincennes, went into the hospital. I never knew this person. Her name was Herschelman, Mrs. Herschelman. And went in, and I sat down with her and started to talk with her and everything. And she was a church member. She told me she was. She was faithful in church. And so I took the word of God and gave her the gospel. She had never heard it before. She had never heard how to be saved before. And God sent this old preacher as an appointment. He set up an appointment between me and her. There's an appointed days. Most of you remember Ronnie Price. Maybe not all of you. Some of you remember Ronnie Price. I went to visit Ronnie Price in I think it was the Union Hospital. I can't remember for sure. It was a Union or Regional Hospital. Over there to visit him quite a long time ago when he was, at that time, he wasn't too much interested in being saved. Now, he did get saved before he finally died, but he wasn't much interested. I sat there beside his bed and told him how to be saved and just went from beginning to end, just covered everything. And he said, "No, I don't think I'm interested in that." And about that time, I heard a voice behind me said, "I am." And the man in the other bed, I wasn't even really paying that much attention to him at that time, said, "I'm interested," and that man got saved. Now, I had an appointment that day to be at a certain place at a certain time. Now, I believe God sets appointments for us. And I believe if we as God's people will just mind God, you'd be surprised what he has in store for us, what he wants to use us for. So I'm just saying to you folks, God has appointments. He sets certain days, and he expects us to keep them. Amen. He expects us to keep those appointments. He set a day here for Paul. Paul went to that place in Rome, preached the gospel, and folk were saved. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But people got saved. Why? Because Paul kept his appointment. He went and preached the word of God. He preached the gospel. Not only that, well, you can go back and you remember how Philip had that appointment with the Ethiopian eunuch. I like that story. God sent Philip down there, and there in the desert place, and there was the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, on his chariot. Can you imagine them kind of coming together at the same time? There he was sitting in the chariot. Philip come along, got up in the chariot, read to him out of the book of Isaiah, and he got saved. Appointment. We don't want to miss God's appointments. See, what if Philip had headed the other way? What if you head the other way when God set up an appointment for you? Amen. Not only I believe there's an appointed day, I also believe there's an appointed people. Look in verse 23. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." There was an appointed people to be at that place the day the Apostle Paul was going to preach. And I believe that God this morning would have this place full. I believe he would wanted people that's not here this morning to be here. I believe that in the bottom of my heart. I believe God had an appointed day, appointed people to come to the house of God. I believe that you that are here, I believe God appointed that. I believe it's right. I know many of you come because you're members and you're faithful, but it's appointment that you keep on Sunday morning. You come to the house of God to be in the place you ought to be. I want you to go back with me to the book of Luke. For a few moments, the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Realizing this is fairly familiar, but the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, verse 16, listen to some appointments that was not kept. says, and then said he, verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, as we read down through this, it was appointed for them to come. There's people that's been invited this week to the house of God. People ought to be here today that are not here. They just ought to be here because it's appointed for them to be here. But they, like this here, had some excuse. As he said there, he had brought a piece of ground. I can't imagine going and buying a piece of ground without going looking at it. But on Sunday morning, we'll just say it's Sunday morning, instead of coming to the house of God, he went over to see his piece of ground. He had an excuse. You see, it wasn't a reason, it was an excuse. You look down in verse 19, another said, I bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee have me excused. This is simple scriptures. You've heard them many times, but this man went and got him an ox, and he said he wants to go prove him. See, well, he bought an ox without proving him. But on Sunday morning, he decides to go prove the ox. That'd be like going out and buying a car and deciding to go out and test it out on Sunday morning. You understand what I'm saying? Excuses. Excuses. And then he said, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He had an excuse also. He married a wife, and he said, I cannot come. There's a lot of people using social reasons for not coming to the house of God. They've got other things to do. They got other places to do. No wife wants to go here, or husband wants to go here, or the kids want to do this, or the kids want to do that. You see, on Sunday morning, no, the place to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is in God's house. You can use any excuses you want to use. You say, Brother Ross, I'm tired. I am too. And the rest of these men in here are tired. They work hard all week long. All of them work hard. The women work hard. You know where they're at on Sunday night? Right here. Wednesday night, they're right here. You know why you do that? Because it's right to do it. It's right to be faithful to God's house. Amen. But these is using excuses. I just believe there's an appointed people. I believe if all had come, we'd have had to set up chairs that God appointed to come to the house of God. See, I believe we'd have had to set up chairs and prepared for them because God's appointed a lot of people to come. You notice that there. A lot of them come, you see, and heard the word of God. I'm sure there was a lot of them that did not. Okay? So there's an appointed people also. Then also there's an appointed message. Look in chapter 28, verse 23, and at the end of it, let's read the verse. It says, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. If you'll notice there was an appointed message that Paul was to preach. I don't know all that Paul preached. It doesn't tell us all of that, but I'm sure he went back even in the very, very beginning in Genesis and probably expounded some scripture there. I have a feeling he went and talked about Moses and the blood on the doorpost and expounded the scripture there. Sure, he might have went to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and went down through those verses of scripture and expounded the scripture to this man here. You see, why? Because he had a message that needed to be preached, and that message was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, he may have even talked about Micah there, and out of Bethlehem would come the one to rule over Israel. He may have covered a lot of verses explaining unto the people there, but he had a message that had to be preached. And I say to you, it's the same one that Peter preached on Pentecost. Same one, because it was Jesus, the Son of God, that he preached. It was the same one that Peter preached to Cornelius. If you read those wonderful verses of Scripture, what did he do? He preached unto them Jesus, the Son of God, you see. It was the same one that Paul preached, no matter wherever he went. He preached about Jesus, you see. It's the same one the Ethiopian eunuch preached, Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. It was Jesus, the Son of God. It's the same message that good preachers preach today. It's Jesus, the Son of God. That's the message that must be proclaimed. Can't understand folk not wanting that message. I can't understand folk not getting in tune with that message. I can't understand folk that sit with a stubborn look on their face when the Word of God is preached. Jesus is who must be preached. That's the message that needs to be preached. And you ought to be glad it's being preached. You ought to be glad Jesus is being preached. Amen. So that's the message. That's the appointed message, you see. It's the same message that needs to have been preached at the relative of J.R.'s the other day. J.R. went down to the funeral and he said, I'm worried about this. I've known this guy's known his relative for 45 years, didn't you tell me? 45 years he's known this guy, and he didn't even know if he's saved or not. He got up and didn't even preach a salvation message in the funeral. Shame. Shame on this guy. Been preaching supposedly for 45 years or knew him for 45 years or whatever it is, and won't even preach the Word of God and tell him about Jesus. One of the most sweetest places in all the world to tell someone about Jesus is at a funeral. I've seen a lot of folks saved at funerals. Why? Because you put the gospel out there. You tell someone how to be saved. See, that's the message that needs to be preached. His death, his burial, his resurrection. So that people will know Jesus Christ. Paul came faithfully on that appointed day. There was appointed people there. And he preached the appointed message, which was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to be faithful in preaching Jesus to you today. That's the message you need to hear. He's a wonderful Savior. He died on a cross, was buried, and rose again so that you and I could be saved. And except you get under His blood, get washed in the blood of Jesus, and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You'll go to hell and spend an eternity in hell without Christ. There needs to be a day, a time in some day that you had back in your life when you truly called upon Christ and asked Him to give you eternal life, forgive you of your sins, and to make you a child of God. Has there been that day? There was a day back when I remember as a boy that I got baptized, but I wasn't saved. Joined a church, but I wasn't saved. Multitudes, I'm saying to you, multitudes are like that. We've got to understand there has to be a day when you're born again. Truly put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can do that is get the appointed message. Someone will bring the message, you see. I remember back, I'm referring back to Mrs. Herschelman. She was so surprised. She had went in church most of her life and had never heard the true message of salvation. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't understand that. I don't want to understand it. See, I can't understand someone supposed to be a preacher won't preach Jesus. See, there's an appointed message. And then if you'll notice also in verse 24 of chapter 28, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Not only was there an appointed message, there's an appointed decision. You know, he got a lot of folk to come and listen. But you notice that some of them believed, and some of them did not believe. There's an appointed decision. You say, Brother Ross, what's that appointed decision? Everybody in here this morning will make a decision, whether you think you will or not. You may believe, you may not believe, you may decide to accept Christ, you may decide not to, but you will make a decision. So you'll make it. And there's always the appointed decision. That's what preaching's all about, is to bring people face to face with a decision in their life. What are they going to do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God? You see, Noah back in his day had the same problem here. Noah, there's only eight of those that got on the ark, and I don't know how many there was out there, but multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people out there. And Noah, only eight believed, and the rest of them didn't. You see, there's always that decision. You walk through the scriptures, and you'll always find the same thing. Some believe, some don't. You'll find that in the church today. You'll find that even here this morning. Some believe and some don't. Some believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but some chooses not to. You find that through the Old Testament. You find that through the New Testament. You see Peter facing this, and John facing this, and Paul facing this. You see preachers today facing that. You see our Lord Jesus Christ face that when he was on this earth. Some believed, and some did not believe. That's true today. There's those who believe, and there's those who do not believe. You see, we can't make somebody believe. But we can give forth the message so they can make a right kind of decision. You may be like Felix, who said, some more convenient time. How many times have I heard people say, well, I'm going to do it some other time? I've heard that so many times. I think I'll get saved next Sunday, or maybe when I get this right or that. You'll never get everything right. You just need to get saved. See, you just need to get saved, need to be born again. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. There's folk today that's just almost persuaded to be a Christian, but yet they're not. You don't want to be almost persuaded. You want to be persuaded to be a Christian, you see. And you today will make a decision. Maybe you've already made the decision for Christ. You may already believed upon him. And you're born again. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you're not, you're going to make a decision today. You're going to make a decision to accept him, or you're going to make a decision to turn him down and reject him. Amen. So you will make a decision, you see. Every time you hear the gospel, you make a decision to either reject it or accept the word of God. And that's what he said here. He said, some believed and some believed not. Amen. That's sad. And then there's another appointment that I want to talk to you about. There's an appointment of death that no one is going to miss. I've seen it down through the years. I remember when I worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company. I'm not going to go back to all those, but I've shared that with you before. Young men walked out of that building. I saw them as they walked out before they came back. They're dead. One died on a motorcycle wreck. One went home, and he's just a strapping young man, nice-looking strapping young man, and went home with some friends and then stopped at a house on the way there, and he's sitting in the house, and his neck just snapped back, and they think he had blood clot hit. He just dead. So you don't know what's going to happen. Down through the years, I've seen people die, just young people die, older people die. You see, you and I are not going to miss that appointment. You and I are going to die unless the rapture comes. You know what I'm talking about. See, that's an appointment that's going to come to all of us. You understand it? And we're going to keep that appointment. Let me assure you one thing. You're going to keep that appointment. You're not going to say, I'm going to put it off. No, you'll keep it. When God says it's time, you'll keep it. Everybody will. You see, there's an appointment of death that you will not fail to keep. Amen? Then I want to tell you something else. There's also an appointed place for us to go. And it's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. Don't let anybody fool you. There's no purgatory. There's no half in, half out. You're either saved or you're lost. If you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. One or the other. Now, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're promised heaven. God's promised that. But if you're not, you're not saved, you're not born again, you will spend an eternity in a devil's hell forever and ever and ever. You've got an appointment to make with death, and you've got an appointed place to go. Now, above all, you ought to be sure that you have a place reserved in heaven. Say, Brother Ross, how do I get that reservation? Well, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and only in him. Amen. You don't do it in this church, this preacher, or anybody else in here. I'm just here as a messenger to point you in the right direction. Faith in me is not going to get you to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. Faith in Him and Him alone, not anything else. It's not plus baptism, it's not plus this, plus that, plus this. No, all those things may be good, but faith in Christ is the way you go to heaven. Now, has there been a day when you've been born again? I'm serious about this, folks. Listen to me. Do you know 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you sure of that? In your heart, can you say, if I took my last breath today, I know exactly where I would look up and I'd be ready to go to heaven. I'd be taken to heaven by the Lord. I know that because that's where my faith, my trust is. Do you know that for sure? 100%. If not, you need to get that correct this morning. Got an appointment with destiny. You will keep it. I will keep it. Amen. Now, are you ready? Are you ready for heaven? Wouldn't it be simple if you're not ready for heaven? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing just to walk this aisle today and say, you know, I'm going to give up on all of my works and all of my doubts and all of my this and all of my that, and I don't know whether I'm doing this or I don't know. Why don't you just walk this aisle and say, I'm going to put my trust today in Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to do that. That's going to be my day. This appointment's going to be for me today. I'm going to accept Christ and be saved today. Bow your heads, please. Say, Brother Ross, no doubt in my mind, you asked the question, are you 100% sure that you're ready for heaven? There's no doubt in my mind that I'm ready. No doubt. Because I've been born again. I know I'm God's child. Would you just raise your hand, please? Then you can put it right back down. Thank you very much. Thank you. You say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure about that, and I want you to pray for me. Not calling your name out, not in any way embarrassing you, but you say, Brother Ross, I just want you to pray for me. I'm concerned about my salvation. Would you just raise your hand, please, and I will pray for you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see that hand back there. I'm just not sure. Someone over here. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you, son. Someone else. Anyone else? I'm just not sure I'm saved. Not sure I'm ready for heaven. Anyone else? I want to give you some instructions. I'm going to pray. And as soon as I get done praying, we're going to start, the pianist is going to start playing. I want you to get up from your seat. And I want you to move forward. You raise your hand. You're concerned about your salvation. I want you to get up. I want you to come forward. Let these folk up here help you and be a blessing to you. God's dealing with you. He wants to save you. Wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to walk from this place knowing you're a child of God. Father, I pray for those who lifted their hands, said they're not sure of salvation. I pray for them. God help them during this time to put their faith and trust in Jesus. We'll thank you for it in His name. Amen.